Verse number 1, Romans chapter number 13, verse number 1. We'll read together in unison, reading from the King James Bible. And let's read out loud, shall we? Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for giving us this book, your love letter, to teach us, to save us, to warn us, to encourage us, to exhort us, to rebuke us. Lord, just thank you, Lord, for this book, the Word of God. I thank you, dear God, that you've outlined in this book our lives and how to conduct our lives. And I just pray, dear God, as last Sunday morning, that we'd pay attention for this series on obeying our authorities over us. Lord, I pray that this will be a help and a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Romans 13, verse number 1. Again, we read this last week, but I want to read these verses again for this part of the series. Romans chapter 13, starting at verse number 1, let every soul, that includes everybody, every single individual, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. We said last week, the higher powers are not some fanciful Eastern religion, made-up belief of some airborne powers that are unknown. The higher powers are those that are over you in authority. For instance, the children's higher power is the parent. The wife's higher power is the husband. The men's higher power is God. The citizen's higher power is the government that's in charge. Everybody has a power over them, everybody. And the ultimate power is God. So God says, let every soul be subject, look what it says, to the higher powers. Not some unnamed thing or spiritual being and some Eastern religion kind of made up philosophy. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. A lot of people use that phrase, the powers that be, but they forget or they purposely omit all the powers have been ordained of God. God's put these people in people's authority or in their realm of authority that they need to be obedient to and to follow. Amen. Verse number 2. Whosoever, that means anybody now, any of these subjects, any of these souls, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Now again, not necessarily losing your salvation, but damnation and the curse of God on somebody's life when you resist and rebel and disobey the authority that's over you. Verse number 3. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. In America, it's starting to get the other way around, to be honest with you. But the Bible says, rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore, you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. So you and I are supposed to be subject to the powers over us because God demands it. Not because they're good, not because they're nice, not because they're saved, not because we like them, but because God says so. Now, this is going to be a very interesting Bible study this morning on this series on obeying the ones over you. Take your Bible, please, and turn with me to Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter 12, verse number 6 to 8. Notice here. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching. or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. Now watch what it says. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Now God lists a whole bunch of gifts there that you and I are supposed to, the gifts that have been given to us by God. He gives us sort of an, I don't say outline, but an exhortation or a command of how to live these gifts. And in the middle of these gifts is for those who are ruling to rule with diligence. That means someone who is an authority ought to rule with diligence. Now, you and I are accustomed to a generation that is lukewarm. I mean, God hates people and hates things that are lukewarm. He'll spew them out of his mouth, the Bible says, in the book of Revelation. But our society doesn't want anybody who is on fire for God and obeying God to the best of his or her ability. But yet, that's what God demands, and that's what God wants. We're almost afraid to live our lives to the fullest for God, full steam ahead, because we're afraid what people may say. We're afraid what people may think. Well, God says the person that's an authority, who's ruling, ought to do it with diligence. Parents, you cannot be too strict with your children. Let me repeat that. You get in trouble when you're not strict enough with your children. You cannot be strict enough with your children. A person in authority is supposed to be diligent concerning their authority. Have you ever walked inside a supermarket or a department store or a large store? Not a small place, but I'm talking about a big department store. When you go to the mall, do you ever notice that as soon as you walk in through the front doors, a large place now, what's the first thing that you walk into? Somebody talk to me. What? A greeter. What's the first thing, not a person, that you walk into? Thank you very much. The vegetable aisle. The first thing you walk into, if it's a big store now, is an enclosed space between the outside and the inside. Why would they ever have a glass room that you walk in one door from the outside to walk into another glass door on the inside? Walmart has it. Kmart's have it. Sears have it. All the big chain stores and all the malls have them. Why? And did you ever notice when you're in, when it's winter time, and you walk into the front, into those, the door, the front door from the outside, what's the first thing that hits you? A blast of heat. Is that right? Because it's common knowledge, engineers know that in order to keep the big inside warm enough, that vestibule area, that hallway sort of, that's about maybe anywhere from 10 to 20 feet, you know, 20 by 20, whatever it is. If they can keep that hot, hot, hot all the time, that'll be a barrier between the outside cold and the inside temperature being steady. How many times you walk into a place where there's no barrier like that, you open the door, and all that cold comes into the entire room? Or in the summertime, when the inside is air conditioned, you walk into a small place, somebody opens that door, and all that heat comes in, and all the air conditioning leaves. Well, engineers know, the heating specialists and the experts know, that if you had this small room inside, between the outside and the inside, it buffets the inside from the outside and keeps it, keeps the inside the temperature that they want. Amen. Well, I tell you that you're supposed to keep, if you're in charge of anything, as hot as you possibly can. This church and this pulpit ought to be as hot as it possibly can, even though you may not like it. Because if I can keep it up here, you may get to over here. I want you to get up here. But I know through experience of 30 years that people can't take very much because they choose not to take very much. But it's my obligation as a pastor, the ruler of the house of God, I'm telling you, I'm supposed to keep the pulpit as hot as I possibly can and as loving and as merciful as I possibly can. But here's what the thinking is today. We don't want to be hot. We want to be lukewarm. See, we don't love everybody. We just want to love certain people. We don't want to forgive everybody. We just want to forgive certain people. We don't want to be merciful to everybody. We want to be merciful to only certain people. And we don't want to hate sin all the way. We just want to hate certain sins. So what happens in American churches today, you have a lukewarm congregation that's following a lukewarm religion led by a lukewarm pastor, that you only love certain people that you choose to love. And you only obey certain things that you choose to obey. Well, my obligation as a ruler of the house of God is to rule with diligence. A parent who's supposed to rule his house is supposed to be diligent. A husband who's supposed to rule his house is supposed to be diligent. The governor, the mayor, the president, the king, supposed to be diligent. Now, you don't like it when somebody wants to follow the rule of law because it bothers you, because it may affect you. Your job is to get in line and obey those who are over you, not to fight and to rebel those in authority, because God has put those authorities and those powers over you. And when you're fighting and disobeying the authority, rebelling against the authority, what you're doing, unbeknownst to you, you are disobeying and fighting God himself. You had no choice who your parents were. God gave you your parents. Okay, maybe they're not good parents. Grant you. Maybe they weren't saved parents. All right, I agree. But it is your job and it is your duty and it is your obligation to honor your parents and to obey them to the best of your ability. Husbands, same thing with their wives. Wives are supposed to obey their husband to the best of their ability. Children are supposed to obey their parents to the best of their ability. And it goes on down the line. Now, take your Bible, please, and turn with me to Acts chapter number 5. Acts chapter number 5. There comes a time where the authority, especially the government, runs afoul of the Word of God. There comes a time when pastors run afoul of the Word of God. That's why the Bible is very clear that the pastor ought not to lord it over God's heritage. All I'm supposed to tell you is what God said, with diligence. Not, if you like it, it's up to you, whatever you want to do. If you don't agree, that's okay. No, if it's in the Bible, it's not okay if you disagree. If it's in the Bible, it's not okay if you disobey. My job is with diligence to teach and preach the Word of God. But there comes a time sometimes where the authority themselves overstep their bounds, overstep their authority. That's why it's incumbent upon you to know what the Bible says. I'm not talking about listening to radio religion or television religion. I'm talking about what God says in the Word of God. In Acts chapter number 5, and starting in verse number 17, but we're going to pick it up in verse number 28, the religious leaders there got upset at the apostles preaching the Word of God. We're going to pick it up in verse number 28, saying, "Did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, watch this now, "We ought to obey God rather than men." Amen. Now you would think that's complete contrary to what we just read in Romans 13. Because Paul wrote that we're supposed to obey the ones that are over us. Because if we don't, we're bringing damnation to ourselves. I'll remind you, the Apostle Paul wrote Romans 13 when he was sitting in prison. Let me repeat that. I want to remind you that the Apostle Paul wrote Romans chapter 13 when he was in prison disobeying the authorities over him because he was obeying God that was over those authorities. And Paul was obeying from a clear conscience, because when the authority over you disobeys God, you are commanded to obey God rather than the authority over you if it's a government authority. Now, let's say your parents are disobeying God. You have to learn how to treat them right. We're going to get to these verses right now. Unless you're old enough to move out and get a job on your own and pay your own bills, like we said last week. If there comes a time that you don't believe your parents love you, care about you, or are disobeying God and making your life miserable, that's okay. Move out, get your own place, rent your own apartment, buy your own food, buy your own clothes, get your own car, get your own job, and live your life. There's nothing wrong with that. And there's nothing biblically wrong with that. But when you are sitting in your parents' home and arguing and fighting and rebelling against the authority God's put over you, you have a problem, not with your parents, you have a problem with God. God, I want to remind you that God said in Exodus 20 that you're supposed to honor your father or your mother. By the way, that includes after you move out. Some of you haven't talked to your parents at all. You can't talk to them nicely. You can't speak to them nicely. You're arguing with them. God says honor your father and your mother. We have a problem with authority. We have a bunch of rebels that come to the houses of God in America. And listen to me good, America is full of a bunch of rebels. Let me just tell you something. And listen to me good, you know where I stand on a lot of things. I don't like everything about Mr. Trump, but I'm telling you, a lot of his followers, listen to me good, are just mad and angry because they're a bunch of rebels that don't want to obey God. Because if they wanted to obey God, we'd have a revival in this country within a week or two. But they don't want to, they're just mad because they didn't like the other guy. They're just mad because they hated the other guy. Well, that's no different than a lot of God's people who are mad at their parents for the wrong reasons. They're mad at the preacher for the wrong reasons. They're mad at the government for the wrong reasons. So everybody's mad because they're rebels fighting God. Now, if they're doing so, for instance, let's say the government says, I'm sorry, no more Bible-believing churches are allowed in America. Well, guess what? Acts 5 applies. I'd rather obey God than man. Now, I said last week, I hate speed limits. But there's nowhere in the Bible that says, thou shalt not follow and obey the speed limit. So, I'm under obligation to obey the speed limits. Because there's nowhere in the Bible that says that I can disobey the speed limit. So that's one law. I don't like it. As a matter of fact, I hate it. But I'm under obligation to obey it. If they tell me not to go soul winning or street preaching or having church, I'm sorry, there's a lot in this Bible about obeying God instead of the government. I hate taxes. I think we're taxed too much. People say, well, tax the rich. You know what that means? When somebody says tax the rich, that means tax the hardworking people to give the lazy drunks and potheads and gamblers. This will be good. When you hear somebody say tax the rich, that means they want the lazy people to get something from people who are working their tails off. That's what they're saying. But Jesus said, pay tribute. Pay custom. As much as I hate the taxes, I have to obey the very words of the Lord Jesus Christ and be honest and pay my taxes. Because there's verses about that. Now, I vote for people that cut taxes. I never vote for any tax. I vote against every school budget. I vote against every property tax. I vote against everything. I'm telling you. I don't vote for any tax. For any reason. For parks, buses, schools, or anything. You name it. I vote against every tax because I hate them. The Bible says the Antichrist is going to be a raiser of taxes in the book of Daniel. But God says to pay. So, like it, don't like it, I'm paying it. Because that's what God says. And guess what? I have a clear conscience. Because I'm not disobeying the law of the land. Because God said to do that. As long as it doesn't contradict the very word of God. So, here. Take your Bible, turn to the book of Jude, the last book before Revelation, right before Revelation, the book of Jude. Second to the last book. It's a small book, one chapter. I'm not sure if I read this last week or not. Watch this. Verse number 13. Actually, verse number 8. Jude, verse number 8. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh. Watch this, what it says. Despise dominion. Now, God gave man to have dominion over the earth. That's why these environmental wacko people are straight out of Satan, ladies and gentlemen. The earth was given to man to have dominion over. The Bible is very clear in the book of Genesis. That's why they hate God. They worship the trees, they worship animals, they worship Mother Earth. I mean, they're a bunch of nuts out there, man. They hate God, they hate the Bible. But the Bible is very clear that God himself gave us this earth so that man could have dominion to hunt, fish, kill, and eat. Plant, build. God gave this earth for man and man to have dominion over the earth. Well, these people despise dominion. Well, do you despise those that have dominion over you and speak evil of dignities? Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally, as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perish in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. People are just raging today. They're foaming at the mouth. They're just mad and angry at everybody and life itself. And God himself they're mad at. Because they don't want to submit themselves and obey the authorities over them. Take your Bible, please, and turn with me to Proverbs 25. What do you do when you have a bad authority? What do you do when the authority over you is not right? Proverbs 25. Proverbs 25. Verse number 15. By long forbearing is a prince persuaded, and a soft tongue breaketh the bone. I may have mentioned this last week. I can't remember off the top of my head. Listen to me good. I never one time yelled at my mom or my dad. Not just when I was in their home growing up, but after I moved out. I didn't agree with everything my dad or mom did. I didn't like everything my dad or mom did. I did not grow up in a Christian home. I did not grow up in a Bible-believing home. If I ever disagree with them, I approach them as if they had honor and I was subject to them and they had dominion over me, and I approached them with both kind. Look, I'm telling you, if I told you some of the stories my mom did, I'm telling you, as I said last week, she'd be in jail for 10 or 20 years, man. And I wouldn't even tell you some of the stories. I said, man, she didn't love you. You know, you don't understand what a Greek mother is like, okay? I'm telling you, I won't tell you some of the things she did because you won't think that's love. And even all the things that she did, or my dad did, I still approach them with honor and respect and try to, listen to me good, listen to what it says. By long forbearing is a prince persuaded, and a soft tongue breaketh the bone. You need to learn how to speak kindly and softly, not just to everybody, but especially to those in authority over you, but you want to argue with them. You want to answer again, talk back to them. You want to ridicule them. You want to roll your eyes and mock them and put your hands on your hips and stomp your feet like a calf at a calf door. You want to be like a pig squealing, yelling, and screaming, and carrying on a tantrum. You're not going to make any headway that way with a ruler who rules diligently. Now, if you have a ruler who's spineless and lukewarm, he's going to say, okay, whatever you want, you know, whatever you want. That's what husbands say, oh, whatever you want. That's what parents say, oh, whatever you want. That's what the pastor says, oh, whatever you want. Politicians do the same thing. Which way is the wind blowing? Which way are the political winds blowing? Whatever you want, because I want to get elected. Republicans, same thing. Don't think it's just the Democrats, man. You know, we heap a lot of rage on the Democrats. Republicans, by the way, last week, did the exact same thing. What do the people want with health care? We'll give them free health care. And you think it's good because you want something free. You can't work and have your own insurance and pay for it. You want somebody else to take care of your health. You want the government to take care of it, not God. And so we are stuck in a generation of a bunch of rebels running rebels, following rebels, because we're all rebelling against the Word of God. That's why we got rid of the King James Bible. That's why we got rid of Bible-believing churches. That's why we got rid of Baptist names on the signs. We're a bunch of rebels. We don't want God telling us what to do. We don't want any authority over us telling us what to do. And then we wonder why our lives are just so messed up. So God says here, by long forbearance is a prince persuaded, and a soft tongue breaketh the bone. Proverbs 15, please. Proverbs 15. Verse number 1. Proverbs 15, verse number 1. A soft answer turneth away wrath. Let's say your authority gets mad at you. Oh, here's what you do. Oh, I'm not going to have anybody talk to me that way. That's why you're not going to have a job. That's why you can't keep a job for more than a year or two. You talk back to your boss. I don't know why you fired me. Well, you know, because you can't keep your mouth shut. You can't obey the rules. You can't do what your boss tells you to do. Oh, I'm not going to have anybody treat me like that. That's because you don't. That's why you don't want God to be over you. You're a rebel. You're a rebel. And it shows off in the authority that's immediately over you. Children rebel against their parents, wives against their husbands, people against God, employees against employers. So you're just watching too much television, what you're doing. You're watching too much online videos and stuff like that on your smartphone, and you're trying to copy and mock or trying to copycat all the other people who think they're so cool, they're a bunch of rebels. And you're trying to follow their lifestyle. They're rebelling against God. Well, my Bible says, look what it says. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Let's say your boss says something to you that he's either right or he's either wrong. All you have to say is, thank you very much, you're probably right, I'm sorry, I apologize. Of course, that will take a lot of humility for you to admit that your boss is right. Huh? You know, I never talked back or yelled at my boss. I'm 60 years old, and all the jobs I've ever had, I never one time talked back or yelled at my boss, even when they were wrong. But when you have a rebellious attitude and rebellious spirit, you're just mad at everybody. And especially when your authority does something you know is wrong, then that's your chance to really get him. Huh? You want to show how smarter you are, how much better you are than the one who God's put in your authority. But see, what you're showing is a lack of character on your part and immaturity on how to deal with people in authority over you. That's why you'll never get ahead in life. You'll never get ahead. It's your problem of immaturity that you don't want to deal with. Ecclesiastes, chapter number 10, please. What happens if your authority doesn't change, even though you go to them in the right spirit, right attitude, soft answer? Ecclesiastes, chapter number 10. Verse number 4. Let's say your parents have it in for you for whatever reason. Let's say your husband really has it in for you, or the preacher has it in for you. Let's just say the government has it in for you, the governor, the president, the mayor. Let's say they don't like you, and they're trying to make your life miserable on purpose, and you know it. Well, God has an answer for that. Ecclesiastes chapter number 10, verse number 4. If the spirit of the ruler rise up against thee, leave not thy place. For yielding pacifieth great offenses. So here's what you do. Because of a lack of maturity, because we're immature, we argue, yell, curse, swear, and talk back to our authority, and then leave. Because I can't take this anymore. Instead of not going anywhere and speaking softly. You know what Job said? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. You love Jesus. You love the Jesus only that you hear from Catholicism. You don't love the Jesus in the Bible. In the book of Mark, in the book of Matthew, Jesus called a Canaanite woman, remember? He called her a dog. She said, "Yea, Lord, but the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from the master's table." You know what Jesus said? "Great is thy faith. And whatever, you know, so it be unto you according to thy faith." Of course, you couldn't love Jesus that much if he called you a dog. And by the way, she was a Greek woman. That's why a lot of Greeks have a problem with the Jews' religion with Jesus Christ. You know why? Because Jews are stiff. I'm sorry, the Jews too, but the Greeks are stiff-necked and rebellious, ladies and gentlemen, full of pride. And nobody's going to tell them. That's why they're sick. Do you ever look what's going on in Greece right now? Their whole economy is shot. Their whole country's shot. They're a bunch of rebels full of pride against God. Your life will be destroyed because of your pride and your disobedience to God and disobeying the authority that's over you. God says, look at verse number 4. If the spirit of the ruler rise up against thee, leave not thy place. Don't leave. Take it with the right spirit and the right attitude. Because then you'll learn how to deal with difficult people in the future. Let's say your parents weren't right and they're difficult. Well, guess what? God will put you there as a learning experience to learn how to deal with more difficult people in the future, like neighbors and coworkers and bosses and government officials. But when you leave because you don't like it or you can't take it or they're picking on you, that's a lack of maturity on your part. I don't like what the preacher said. Oh, you know what you do? Go find another church. That's what the mentality is today. I don't like what the preacher said on that subject there. Okay. You ought to ask me, do I have a Bible chapter and verse to show you what God says? Amen. Do I have a chapter and verse to show you what God says? If I don't, you ought to confront the preacher and say, "Preacher, why'd you say that? What's the Bible say about that?" My Bible says in Titus chapter number 2, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, like putting it off, you know, prolonging things, but showing all good fidelity that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. When you behave the right way, it'll speak more to your authority about God than you talking back and yelling back and cursing back and fighting back with your authority. That's what the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3 about women. You know, their husbands. You win them by the conversation of the wives. Conversation not just means talk, but your conduct. That old English word conversation means talk and conduct. And you can win your husband, 1 Peter chapter 3 says, by your conduct. But when you're rebellious against authority and those over you, you're not going to win anybody. When you purposely try to get your authority upset, the king, the preacher, your husband, your parent, you're fighting God. And that's what we're doing in America. We're fighting God. Proverbs chapter number 10, please. Let's go back there. Proverbs chapter number 10. We're going to stay here a little bit. Proverbs chapter number 10.